tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful songs.
Number 433, for those who can stand, and after this song we'll be led in prayer by Brother Tom.
Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. What shall my wayward feet guide me with Thee?
preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 383. 383. We all sing 2, 3, and then 1. May we keep in memory all that Thou hast said. May we truly worship as we eat the bread. Help us, Lord, Thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship Thee. May we all in spirit, all with one accord, take this cup of blessing, give set our minds upon partaking of the Lord's Supper. Our reading will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, together for us, amen. For the physical things that we have in this life, Father, we're grateful, for we realize they come from you. As we give back now a portion to carry on the work here at this place, we pray that you bless us, that we might use it in such a way that we will glorify your name here upon the earth. Again, thank you so much for your son, Jesus. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Number 19,
brothers.
You've marked that. Let's turn to number 439. 439. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, stand.
merciful, Jesus will say. Though they are sliding him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they truly believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, till the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
The last few weeks of time, we've been discussing in this sermon time, temptation, and how we face that temptation successfully as we go through life from day to day. And as we do this, we find ourselves looking back to God's Word and God's will in our lives about how we are to put things first in the kingdom of God. When Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things, food, clothes, shelter, will be added unto you. Why is it the emphasis that we give to pertaining to the food, clothes, and shelter first in our lives? First should be the kingdom of God, and first should be the teaching of the Lord, and follow that way that's going good. Notice in Galatians 5:16, he makes the following statement. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye were led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And he goes on with the works of the flesh, saying that you'll get yourself involved in adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, and emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murder, and drunkenness, revelings in such like. As I've told you before, so I tell you now once again, that he that does these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice that in the way of life, these temptations will be there with you, and they'll be struggling with you, and they'll be successful over you. Because they're simply things that are admonished to us of the flesh. If we walk in the Spirit, however, we walk prayerfully in the Spirit. And if we walk in the Spirit of God, we'll find ourselves victorious over most any temptations that we face. But if we do not do that, we'll find ourselves amiss. Look what it says in the chapter here in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's be people who find ourselves enjoying a relationship with the Lord. And in relationship with the Lord is not to be filled with these kind of worldly things to be a way of life. If we're goody-goody, I didn't have this temptation, it's the wrong attitude to have. If it's a successful thing that I've been able to do and you're not able to do, it's a wrongful statement to make. The idea is to be people helping them realize that the affections and lust of the flesh is what led them to the wrong. And it was not you that led them to the wrong by encouraging them by words and mannerisms that are not godly. Think about that as we go on in life. And in the writing of to Paul to the Ephesians in reference to this matter, in Ephesians chapter 5, and beginning at verse 12, he said, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." He's talking about the ways of the world and the ways of fellowship with darkness and the kind of things that go on there. And he says it's a shame even to speak of those things. But all things are reproved or made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but unwise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Walk about in life looking around and seeing the things that try and tempt other people. And reference to that, that you're trying to get you and get your soul and get you tempted. Find yourself looking at those things under the eye of caution, so that as you see those things being practiced, he says it's not the will of God. Look what he says here, redeeming the time, Ephesians 5 and 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Look at the will of the Lord in the matter, and look at the way of life that they're living from day to day. And as they choose to live that way of life, note that that way of life is not of God. It's not the right thing to practice by your life either. And as a result, you can be a person who enjoys the relationship with God instead of the sadness of relationship with Satan. So we need to be people who follow the ways of God. And doing the ways of God is the right way to do. And the right ways of the Lord are to be done. He says to us in Philippians in chapter 4, a reference that I'll use for the rest of our lesson study today. And that is the idea of what to do with these things. He says there in verse number 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God," literally God of peace, "which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In reference to this, I made this point a couple weeks ago, that we need to get up in the morning with a word of prayer in regard for the day that we have at hand, a thankfulness for the night's rest, a looking forward to the opportunities of encouraging people toward the Bible and toward the Word of God, toward the way of life to live. Instead of going out here in the world, as he is described there in the book of Galatians, to be worldly minded and worldly ways and living that way of life, that will be overcome ultimately, because they'll come back on you that way. He wants you to follow the way of Christ Jesus. And as we walk in the way of Christ Jesus, we have a blessing from the Lord. And as a result, he says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't live by anxiety in your life. Live by a way of prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. It's a good thing to start early in the day. And as the day goes along, there are times to stop and voice a word of prayer. There are times to stop and voice a word of prayer when we get an automobile to ride home at night. We want to be safe in that way. We want to be there with people coming at us and coming with us that are dangerous, because they have in their mind somewhere else, and they may be in your lane when you pass them by and be a damage to you. Be prayerful for them and prayerful for their ways of life, and prayerful for yourself that you will be able to overcome that way of life. That peace of God will pass all understanding and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says in Philippians 4 and at verse 8, "Finally, brethren," notice that he's concluding with a whole group of things that he's talked about, the way of life. He said back in verse number 3 of this chapter 4, Philippians 4, verse 3, "I entreat ye therefore also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, and the Lord is at hand. And then he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. He will be with you, he says. The God of peace will pass on the understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He keeps our heart, our internal being, our internal bearing, our bearing of who we are and what we are, to whom we belong, to the Lord. But we also have the idea in mind that what we think about, and we want God to control the way that we think, our minds. We want him to control the way that we think, and we pray for him to do that. And as a result of that, we are successful in overcoming the various evils of the world and the various trials of life, the temptations that come upon us. We're people who can be victorious. And so he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Literally, he's saying in that word, think, meditate. Meditate upon these things. Don't meditate on the opposite of truth and error. Don't meditate upon the things of dishonesty. Don't meditate upon the things of unjust ways of life. Don't be a person who finds ourselves enjoying a way that's not pure, opposed to a way that is pure. He's saying these things are not the things to do. He's telling us to be people who practice these ways of life. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, meditate upon this. Whatsoever things are just, meditate upon what's just. Whatsoever things are pure, manifest your way of life on things that are pure. Be a person who cares about the way of life that we have in our communities where we live. We will not be people who find ourselves rejoicing in those ways, but rejoicing in the Lord. He says there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye also were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. There was a problem and trouble that came to the brethren there at Philippi. Their gifts and their contributions did not measure up to be able to give to Paul. In his missionary work over Macedonia and his work over in Thessalonica, he says, regarding Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, in verse 16. But he notes that he was not able to have the kind of support that he needed to have, and he praises these brethren that they did this once and then again to help him in this situation. And he says about God and heaven that he would have the blessing upon Epaphroditus, the fellow friend with him, and how that he will come back and bring to you a wonderful blessing, a wonderful way of life, a well-pleasing thing to God. But God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What we need more and more ways as we serve the cause of the Lord, as we contribute to children's homes, as we contribute to missionaries in foreign fields, as we contribute to those people who are taking care of some of the needs of mankind. These two young ladies that are posted on the bulletin board, I hope that you take time to read about them, read about their situations in life. They were kidnapped, taken into false ways of doing life, making money by using their bodies. One is 19 years of age, one is 9 years of age. But this congregation was of help in such a way that they could be rescued from that. And as they were rescued from that way of life, we rejoice with them that they could find friends who loved them and cared about them, did not wish to malign them or take advantage of them. Isn't it good to have that to be done? What about this way of life that they did not know a thing about? And they did not have that way in which they could tell. But now then they have a way to know from the Bible, the way of life to live, the way of life to practice. And they thank people who've helped them to be served and helped them to do things. It's a good thing to be done. And it's a helpful thing. And when we don't have the funds wherewithal, we begin to look at things that we can get rid of, things that we can do to help us to do the funds and do the things that were right there and do that sort of work and that sort of care for those individuals. That's what the brother Philippi did. He says that in verse 15 of Philippians chapter 4, "Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." It's the only congregation that worked together. Now Paul mentions in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9, several individuals who were of help to him and assistance to him. But as far as a full congregation, where the prayers are said for him, the thoughtfulness is there for them, only the brethren of Philippi helped him out during the time of his missionary work in Macedonia. And he said, "I don't desire to have that gift so much as I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. Because you thought of me and you thought of me prayerfully, you gave to me and sent by Epaphroditus that gift. A friend that I knew and a friend that I believed in and I are so glad to have his help. He brought an odor of a sweet smelling sacrifice, well pleasing to God. And this is the way that it happened to help me in this time of need. But he was joyful over them, the brethren, how that they had given that way and how that there was someone else who was paying attention to what they were doing and how it helped them, spiritually speaking, how it helped them in their relationship with the Lord. It helped them enormously. And they were glad and should be glad and thankful for it. He said, "Not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." He is so thankful for the help that they have sent and the kind of assistance that they gave to him. But he's also thankful that they did what God's will was in supplying needs of the missionary work. I'm so thankful to tell people and announce to people that we did not miss a time of sending contributions to our missionaries in foreign fields and the children's homes of Martin, Arkansas, up at Corinth, Mississippi. We brethren did not miss a time during all of this last year, pandemic situation going on. But we were able to do that and receive back some of the heart-rendering messages, much like the heart-rendering message that the brother Philippi no doubt thought of when they got this letter from Paul. How much he loved them and cared for them and wanted them to realize he was appreciative to God for them and for their work with him. And how thankful he was that they could be blessed of God eternally. Saying, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." What a way of life that he did. And way of life in teaching the gospel to others. Now, did everybody get converted in the days of Paul in the Roman Empire? But he mentioned some in Caesar's household who were people who obeyed the Lord and followed the way of Christ Jesus. When we read about that, we read something that's really, really amazing to us. because in Caesar's household, there were men who were there who were formerly slaves, who were there as servants to the emperor. But as they were there, they heard Paul's teaching, heard him teach about the ways of the Lord, and as a result, they became people who were converted. And so they did. He rejoiced in the fact that even those of Caesar's household would salute him. When he wrote this brethren to Colossae. Let me read this here. Colossians chapter 4 and at verse 9b. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you. And Mark, my sister's son, to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. They're Jewish people, but these only have my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which hath comfort of me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring and fervently for you in prayer, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, brethren at Colossae, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the fellow beloved physician, and Demas salute you. Salute the brethren that are in Laodicea and Memphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read among the church at Laodicea, and likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And the salutation by the hand of Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. A sad way to close a book, but a wonderful way to close it in the same. Because he knew that these brethren were faithful and beloved. They were people who were serving the cause of God with great zeal. And they were fellow servants of the Lord as well as the Caesar household of Caesar. And so they found themselves doing what the Lord would wish for them to do. What a blessing that is to have. And in our day and time, when we find the opportunity to serve and we can, let's do the same. He didn't say that there was one gift that made the difference in all of their contributions. He was saying that there was one congregation that in their little bit of help that they sent was such a timely gift and a timely opportunity that he rejoiced. Not so much in the gift, though he was using it and he was filled to the brim in regard to what they sent. But they had a blessing from the Lord that was coming their way. Will we have blessings to come our way? I trust that we will, because of the way in which we do things for the Lord's sake. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, think about your relationship with him. And overcome that way of life of sin and wrongdoing in your life. As the scripture here tells us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, do these things and thou shalt be blessed. Practice this way of life. That's the way to do it. God bless you, everyone listening today. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, come to the front, let it be known as we stand to sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way. Hearken the loving call. Yeah.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for your listening to God. God bless you.
Page number two. Thank you.